If you checked social media before coming to church, like I did this morning, you'll have seen that I mentioned, I invite all of you to turn on your phones right now if they're off, keep them on silence, and if anything comes up for you in the sermon, a question or a comment that you would like to put to me, you can tweet it. Tweet it to me at the new HOCO Twitter, which is HOCO Richmond. If you had trouble finding it, that's because I have a little dyslexia and I omitted a letter in the word Richmond in the beginning. But it has been fixed, so it's HOCO Richmond, or search for Holy Comforter on Twitter. What I plan to do, this every week for a while, see how it goes, and at the end of the sermon I will read one or two of these and perhaps make a comment or answer a question. But every one that you tweet to me, I will answer in writing on Twitter, possibly put on our blog or Facebook. So turn on those phones. Well, what a lovely day this is. It's the middle of summer, and in this time of sort of carefree attitude, right, a lot of us have in the summer, we get what? We get the parable of the weeds and the wheat. Not the most cheerful of parables. But that's okay. It's going to be all right. We have a lot to consider as we listen for God's word to us in our time and place, in your life and in my life. This is a parable that speaks to the human tendency toward anxiety and God's counsel that we have patience. I mentioned to a few people that I would be preaching on this reading today in the last couple weeks, which includes those difficult words that all the evildoers and causes of sin will be thrown into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These people looked at me and said, "What are you going to do with that?" these are difficult words. These are readings that really give us pause and make us think, where's the God of love? No matter how good the wheat is, there are these weeds, and it leads to weeping and gnashing of teeth, according to our reading. I don't know about you, but this gnashing of teeth, it always makes me think of zombies. You probably didn't expect to hear about zombies today in church, did you? But if you're in the world I'm in, you've noticed there are a lot of zombie apocalypse-type movies and TV shows. It happens all the time. It's everywhere. There's so many. Just this summer, I saw World War Z. I was alone in my dad and stepmom's house in New Mexico. They were out doing a business thing late at night. I had to turn on all the lights and lock the doors. Very scary. Also on TV right now, we have a show called The Last Ship. Not so much zombie-oriented, I don't think, but sort of this end-of-the-world apocalyptic. And The Strain, which does seem to involve a virus that turns people into zombie-like creatures. That just started, so we'll have to see. So, it's not hard to understand why we can imagine a bad end to humanity. As time marches on, in some ways, we as the human community make strides, many strides, but there remain threats and tragedies. For example, the tragedy of the commercial airliner carrying 298 persons recently shot down, everyone killed because of a centuries-long conflict between the people of Russia and the people of Ukraine. We have some reason for anxiety. We see the weeds all around us, and we express this in our culture in various ways. As the young movement of Jesus followers had grown up and started to live and teach the lessons taught to them by the one they called the Christ, there were problems. The gospel accounts that we have inherited are a combination of what Jesus said, what people thought Jesus might have said, inspiration from God, and human contextual input, meaning that the gospel accounts were written down in a time and a place by people who were experiencing both the grace of God and the anxiety of their times. We see the combination of both grace and anxiety in this parable of the weeds and the wheat. The people of the time, around 70 AD, they are saying, hey, this project we're starting to call the church is not going very well. Not as well as we want, anyway. We don't all agree. It seems there are people and forces that are actively opposed to the message of peace, love, healing, and justice that we're seeking to share and incarnate in our lives, make seen what we call the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Things were not perfect, far from it, and there was a lot of anxiety in the early days of the church. To return to the parable, the kingdom of heaven or of God or the reign of God among us, all three of these are basically saying the same thing, may be compared to someone who sows good seed in a field, but then someone, an enemy, sowed the weeds. The good wheat of the kingdom has been infected by the bad weeds. Who could have done this? This is not God's will, but the result of sin and evil, the parable is telling us. There is a desire on the part of the people to fix the situation. Let's fix it now by uprooting the weeds. But God says no. That's going to hurt the wheat too. In fact, the wheat and the weeds grow so closely together, it can be difficult to identify what is weed and what is wheat. They can even be intertwined. Have patience. Do not let your anxiety drive you to action or to actions that are not yours to take. Have patience and wait for God to act in God's time. This parable is about the end of time, stating that history is going somewhere, and when we get there, God will sort it all out. So that's good news, that God's will for the world will come to be, and will most likely not involve zombies. But we do hear the anxiety of the time, which could not imagine the end of time or the fullness of God's reign without punishment for those who were persecuting the young church. The young church was anxious. Such would be the case until the 4th century when the Roman Emperor Constantine declared Christianity to be the state religion, the beginning of what became known as Christendom, which would last to varying degrees in many parts of the world, including our own, until the 20th century. Christendom is now over, and we are facing new anxiety, but also new opportunities to be the people, to be the community of love God has called us to be. The way forward is a new one. In some ways, we've never been there before. The church of our time will never again be the church of the 1950s. It will be and is now different. Still, core fundamental aspects remain. But how we express our faith and live as the church in the world is evolving. Twitter, for example. These ideas will be discussed by your vestry during our vestry retreat in August. We'll be using as a conversation partner the book entitled Cultivating the Missional Church, New Soil for Growing Vestries and Leaders. The author, Randolph Furby, states, "There is a seismic shift underway in the church as we move away from the old Christendom era in which the church had a privileged place. Today, in this new apostolic era, the church, as the people of God, is moving to the margins of society with a new, perhaps renewed, commitment to God's mission." He goes on to say that a leader, and all of you can be leaders and are leaders, a leader is a person who is aware of the change and committed to working in this new context. We are young as a church again. It's actually very exciting. Amidst the anxiety of our times, we are blessed by access to God's grace, grace in which we stand, as described in Romans chapter 5. Through Christ, we have access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And this is hope that comes from enduring that which is difficult, and this hope does not disappoint us. And we heard in the reading from Romans today, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what can be seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the field of grace in which we stand, one of weeds and wheat. It is the field of the world, it is the field of the church, it is the field of our lives. In the parable, it seems we can be clear, at least those talking to Jesus wanted to be, that they could be clear about who is wheat and who is weed. Thus, the ease of imagining that what is negative can be separated and burned in a furnace. With the advent of modern understandings about people and personality and psychology, we know that it's not that clear cut. Every person is a bit of a mix of weeds and wheat. Sorting all that out is part of our life journey, a healing journey of self-discovery that as people of faith we do with God. Everyone does it with God, but we can know as Christians who are engaging in this journey that we are not alone. God is with us. And this is God who is not punitive, but loves us into wholeness. In the book entitled Weeds Among the Wheat, Discernment Where Prayer and Action Meet, Thomas Green encourages us to consider this parable in this way, on a personal level. And as we consider that God is loving us all into wholeness, it is not hard to imagine that God is seeking to love everyone and all of creation into wholeness. There may be times, many times, when we pray that all the weeds would be cleared out and we could have an unambiguous harvest of all that is good, now, today. But that is not the place in which we stand. It wasn't for the first followers of Jesus, and it's not for us. Therefore, we are challenged to be people of discernment, seeking to align ourselves with the wheat as much and as often as possible, and not be discouraged to the point of hopelessness by the weeds, be they the weeds we see in the world, in the church, or in our lives. The Society of St. John the Evangelist, an Episcopal monastic religious order of men located in Cambridge, Massachusetts, they send out a daily word, another development in how the church expresses itself today. They do this online, by email, and in other ways. They also have a Twitter feed where you can see it. Hoko Twitter is subscribed if you want to find it. A few days ago, the word that they sent out was call. And I love how they do this because they give you just a little reflection. Call, to be called. And it speaks to me of how we are called to be in this field of weeds and wheat. Brother Curtis Almquist writes, "This is where you have been called. These are the pitiful, painful, inadequate resources you've been given to work with. This is the talent pool from which you can draw. This is the weather that you find. And with wide eyes, you sow and sow and sow the very best seeds of life and love among those with whom you live and work." May God's patience with us and love for us be the sort of patience and love that we can have for ourselves and for others in this field of weeds and wheat, always remembering the hope that we have in God and the grace in which we stand. Amen. All right, now I'm going to check. Check in the feed. Let's see if we got anything. And I'm kind of new at this too, so I'll see if I can figure it out. All right. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I know this might not be the best use of our time. We're going to have to get this, worked out a little better maybe. I noticed no one new has started following us yet. This is your opportunity. Oh, did you? Okay, it might be, the reception in here. Oh, I just got more bars. Okay. Also, anyone who's listening to this online, we post these sermons online. If you would like to tweet me or send me a question, I will answer it. Yeah, we're up to 17 followers. Good job, guys. Very good. All right. I know. Let's see if we... Okay, great. Got one here. The evil one sows weeds among the wheat. How are we as members of the church, both the people of God and the evil one? Very good. I think we sort of dealt with that in the sermon. Excellent. Here's another one. Somebody's saying, sorry, I'm missing this. Can we have a class on how to tweet? All right, so you get the idea. We'll keep working on this. Thanks be to God. Amen.